Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, and whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honors them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. And I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I nor you shall not be moved. Why? Because Jesus is our Savior. We should not be moved. Sing it with me. Jesus is our Savior. We should not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. We will never be moved. Do you believe that today on this miraculous, glorious, and victorious Monday, making melody in your heart Monday, to receive the miracle of God Monday? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? So that you can achieve it and receive it. Because God is not short or slack concerning his promises. And I read for your listening consideration and your soul's edification the 15th division of the Psalms of David, saying, Lord, who shall be able to stand? Who shall withstand? Who shall rise up upon gossamer wings and receive the victory of thy glorious and gracious presence? He that walketh upright, who hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, he shall receive the blessings of the Lord and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Whose report should you believe on this Monday, May the 18th, 2015, when you're receiving Miracle Monday manna from on high, the very best that God has to offer with the kingdom of heaven? Believe ye the report of the Lord, because the report of the Lord will never fall short or fail in its attempt to bring you to that level of expectancy of fulfillment in your life. God is waiting to do the impossible. He is ready to reveal the inconceivable. He is ready to materialize the intangible. But you've got to get out of you and get into him. He wants you to leave. He wants you to release the woes of this world, the cares of this world, so that you can receive the benefits of the kingdom of heaven. God is saying, I'm waiting to do that which you've prayed for. I'm waiting to make manifold that which you expected and multiply. See, manifold means to manifest and to multiply the greatness of his presence, the fulfillment of the Shekinah glory. This is the season of the Shekinah glory, the highest level of the anointing that brings about into the very physical existence of mankind the things that are of God, that only God can do. Even consider this, the old history of Moses. It's like the old historical account, if you will, as Moses stood there in the land of Egypt, knowing that God had anointed him for a purpose. That's right, appointed him for a task, and that he put his spirit within the very bellows of his physical existence. He became to a point that he felt challenged, that he could not overthrow the very rankings of the oppressor, of the Pharaoh, and the Egyptians who represented the land of bondage, this world. And when he got to that point and God felt the burden of Moses, he said, Moses, stand still and know that I am God. That's right. And he told him to stand still. Don't run away. Don't try to hide anywhere. Don't forsake the duty. Don't flee from the battle. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And when Moses stood still, God began to make manifold. Oh, my Heavenly Father is a great God. He began to unfold the very powers of heaven at his disposal. You know it. You know it. That's why God called down the fire from heaven and persecuted the enemies of his people. He brought low the oppressors of his people. And God is going to do that in this very waking hour with us who are standing at the altar, standing at the throne, saying, Lord, it's high time that I receive the power of your presence in my life. I'm having situations that I can't seem to get out of. You know, I think I'm halfway out and something else happens. You know, when I got my family together, then my finances are getting a little shaky. When I got my finances together, my family together, my job situation is questionable. When I got my job situation together, come on, you all hear me. I got my family together, my finances together. Lo and behold, there's some change in the paradigm of the power structure that may denigrate my purpose in you. Then when God fixes the very paradigm of the power structure at your level of employment, he fixes the situation at your job, your family is right, your finances is right, then your body starts doing things that are not sanctioned by God as being wholesome and holistic and beneficial to the kingdom of heaven. Then you get your body right. God delivers you. It always seems to be an ever-evolving cycle of circumstances and situations that we in this world. And you know what our Messiah told us? In this world, you're going to have hours where you feel that you just don't know what to do. You know God. You know that he's with you, but you don't feel him sometimes. That's right, because, you know, the Spirit of the Lord does not always tarry with man. That doesn't mean that he leaves us, but sometimes we don't feel the preciousness of the anointing. Sometimes we don't feel the power of the intuitive to reach within the eternals and touch the very hemline of his garment. Sometimes we don't feel the very essence of his breath upon us. And then we feel like we're struggling alone. And this is when we get into the flesh. We get into distress. When you're in distress, you feel stressed and stressed out. That's right. Then you begin to get depressed. That means you begin to get into your emotions. You begin to institutionalize the Jeremiah factor. That's right. You know, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Then you start saying, woe is me. Why me? How come it's me? Why is this happening to me? We start giving into that. Then from the depression level, we begin to feel oppressed. We would feel as though we were born or overtaken. See, oppression means overtaken. Depression means you're giving in. But see, oppression means you're overtaken by what's going on around you. And we start questioning the integrity of why we were born, what purpose thou to be picked on ever since the day our feet touch this earth, that's right, on the planetary domain. And then we begin to experience these things. And you know what the Lord told us? I am the victory that overcomes the world and even your faith. So according to your faith, what you believe, what your confidence is imputed in, be it unto you. Now, if your faith tells you God is going to lift you up and set you in heavenly places in him, and to promote you, well, so be it. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established, and the light of God shall shine upon thy path. If you believe that God is just going to get you out of that situation, to allow you into another situation, well, according to your faith, be it unto you. But my faith tells me the very best that God has to offer from the wealth standpoint of the kingdom of heaven, I openly receive and multiply it back into the lives of others. Because, see, the kingdom of heaven knows no lack. That's why the kingdom of heaven knows no deficit. The kingdom of heaven knows no defamation. So when you set your affection, not upon this earth, upon the things above and not of this earth, you will keep your focus and you will receive the miracles. For those of you who are looking for a multiplicity of things to turn over, you will receive those things. I will receive those things in due season. That's why sometimes, and this is what it is, this is the divine word of revelation, here with Monday Miracle Manna from on high, heard on all six continents around the world. Let me tell you something. This is a word of knowledge. I want you to open up and receive this word of knowledge. Many of you have been praying. You've been praying for the right reason, but the wrong season. Uh-oh. The right reason, but the wrong season. You've been praying for miracle finances, an extra added income into your life. When the Lord told you, be faithful over a few things, and I shall make you the ruler of many. And when you shouldn't be praying for financial wealth or a miraculous financial breakthrough, you need financial wisdom on how to manage over your monetary affairs with discretion. That's right. So you're giving the right prayer, the right reason, but the wrong season. Or sometimes you give the right season, but for the wrong reason. What do you mean by that, teacher? Let me tell you something. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at others, what others have. Come on now, we've all been there. And we start seeing what other people have and how happy they appear to be. And we know that we're driving that 1982 automobile, and sometimes we have a meager breakdown in the very functioning capacity of that vehicle, and you're constantly servicing it, but it gets you throughout the very elementations of the weather, gets you point A to point B, but you see your neighbor across the street, they're driving this brand new Lexus, and you see them styling and profiling, and people are looking at them and admiring their vehicle. And what happens? You just got your vehicle out the shop, and you spent an insurmountable amount of money on it. You start looking, saying, you know something, I want a new car. I want a new Lexus. I want something better than what my neighbor is at, because I'm just tired of driving the same vehicle. Well, you're giving the very elementation of a good reason to need another vehicle. You shouldn't spend a lot of money on a vehicle in maintenance. It's time to just change over and to get something different. That's the right reason. But guess what? The very elementation of your mindset, you want to compete with others. That's right, and get the admiration glare from your neighbors and other counterparts as saying that you have something that's elementary, superficial, what someone else has. So you're giving the variable. This is why the scripture tells us, that Jesus told us, ask, receive not. It's because you ask amiss. You ask for something, somewhere else, the wrong season. Well, the right reason, the right reason for the wrong reason. You got it confused. Your prayer should be not looking at your neighbor, coveting what your neighbor has. See, that's a covetous prayer. When you see someone with something and you want something better so you can feel better about yourself, that's a covetous prayer. Let me tell you something. God, in his infinite mercy, will spare us his wrath, and he will bless us despite our ignorance. But, it's the but factor, the imputation anomaly. You won't get what it is that you desired. Why? Because you asked amiss. Your prayer, if you better automobile, is to say, Father God, I have a responsibility to get myself from one location without having to harass or intimidate the scheduling of others. I have a being. I thank you for the vehicle that I have. I need something better, Lord. Bless me, bring me into divine favor so through divine wisdom so that I may receive that vehicle that will be a blessing to me, a blessing to others. Amen. You don't have to go to pray yourself, oh, God, I need a car. You see what the neighbor is driving, and you know he or she is no good. They don't do nothing right for nothing. It's not your business. It's not your business. Your business is to ask our Heavenly Father for what it is that you need and being faithful. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. Behold, I make you the ruler of many. And with the spirit of thanksgiving, you open and see. And just, you're praying for financial prosperity. You need, many of us are standing in need of a windfall, a financial breakthrough. Breakthrough means something's got to be torn down so that you can get built up. There's hindering forces that sometimes permeate or literally come as a way of stopping your finances from flowing into your life. That's right, that river of wealth from coming into your life. It looks like the tributary gets turned in another direction or else there's some type of porte that comes in between it that keeps it from coming through. This is your prayer that's in the wrong way. Lord, you know I need money. I'm broke as a joke. You know, a person asks for a penny, I don't have any. If somebody asks for a dollar, it makes me want to holler. I need money right now, Lord. You know this. Bless me, Lord, so I can show people who I am, so people can look up to me, the people that turned me away and refused to give me anything, so I can be ashamed and see what I got. Lord, I thank you, amen. No, you're praying amiss. We're talking about receiving miracles that hinder you from receiving that dunamis, that dynamic. Right. No, your prayer for a financial windfall, a breakthrough, should simply be, Father God, just as you clothe the lilies of the field, you provide for the birds, the sparrows. You look after the very elements of this earth. The earth is not finished or you pay way for all these things. Father God, I ask you for a financial way for me. Cause the miracle to come into my life, Lord, so that I may be able to withhold and maintain my financial responsibility so that the kingdom of heaven is glorified and thy name be magnified, and that I may be a blessing to others that are in need, and that my testimony and the evidence of my testimony be able to bless and bless others. And now, I have as much experience, and I thank you for multiplying my seed exceedingly, and I bless it to Jesus. Amen. That's the prayer of financial. You all remember that he prayed. He knows that he didn't have all of the odds in his favor, but he knew that God somehow would do the unthinkable. He would be able to be on the reciprocating end of God's presence in his life. And he just merely prayed, and he said, oh, Lord, if I would bless thee indeed and enlarge my coast. That's right. He didn't say, Lord, look how bad my family treats me. Look how my mother don't care nothing about me and push me out all on my own. I can't get a favor from my brothers, my neighbors, or anybody. Lord, put me to the ritual and show them and show them out and show them who they were messing with. They just don't know who I be. No, Jabez's prayer was not in that mess. He asked that God, if you would just bless me indeed and enlarge coast. That's right. And that you will bless me so that I will be able to maintain myself. That's right. So that I may glorify you and that my hand be not tempted wrong to be able to sustain myself. You know what? And this is what God looks at. This is what God looks at. This is how God is honored. That's right, when we speak these things in his name. And what happened? God honored the prayer of Jabez, because the prayer of Jabez was earnest, straightforward, and true. He asked him to bless him indeed, enlarge his coast, that, you know, that he would keep him from evil. So people can't do wrong. God doesn't want us to pilfer and steal. God doesn't want us to be undermining and underhanding to make ends meet. That's not God's will and his way. God doesn't want us to prostitute ourselves to receive financial compensation. God wants us to stand on his word and the evidence of his truth so that we may experience the height, the depth, the very essence of his greatness. And this is what Jabez did. And as a result of Jabez being straightforward, being honest, being open, honored his prayer and blessed him. And, you know, people had to do a double take when they looked at Jabez because they said he was a man that literally had nothing. That's right. And God gave him everything. We talk about enlarge your coast. That means you own land. You possess the land. God wants us to possess the land, not just the crops and the multiplicity of what's grown on the land. He wants us to possess that land. And many of us, God had to purchase to get us to that level of expectancy so that we could receive his land. He wasn't trying to be cruel to us or turn us away, but we had some growing up to do. Because many of us, if we would receive that financial breakthrough in a time of our lives in which we were all caught up in the flesh and doing the things that were not wholesome nor good to the use of edification, we would have killed ourselves and hurt somebody else. So God had to pluck us in order to raise us. That's right. He had to prune us in order to be able to bless and prosper us and let our very anomalies spread or spurl or spawn. That's right, like the green bay tree of Lebanon. That's right. You're talking about that beautiful tree that the earth is seen to keep on extending and extending. Boy, you haven't seen anything till you've seen that green bay tree of Lebanon. This is the way God wants to produce miracles in our lives, that our miracles keep multiplying. We keep blessing people. We keep prospering. We keep blessing other people, the kindreds within the kindreds, the hundreds within the thousands within the millions within the multi-millions to the billions. God wants us to reach the world with his life-changing, transformational gospel. And money answers all things. God knows this. And he has a way of doing it that all we have to do is let go and let him, and he will do the rest. That's right. And you don't have to go fighting and battling with people and conflicting with others and prove a point. All you've got to do is stand still and know that he is God and see the salvation of the Lord, as Moses did. Moses was tried. He felt trampled. He felt overwhelmed, but he knew when he let go of himself, God was in control. We've got to learn to let go of ourselves. We keep trying to fight the battle. The battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. That's right. Stop trying to take matters into your own hands because you see what your hands have been doing and producing? Nothing. So when it's out of your hands, then God takes it into his hands, and this is when the miracles happen. Before we get into the power of his word, we're going to say a word of prayer over you in listening radio land all around the world. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity, for this miraculous miracle, manna from on high Monday, that thy presence be felt and thy blessed anointing breathe upon us, Lord. Oh, that you will change the very essence and the direction in which our lives are going. Lord, that you will break down those stony walls of and partitions of separation, those hindering forces and those hindering spirits be deterred and destroyed, that everything that is evil that has attempted against us, whether it be in public or in secret, be destroyed, that the enemies of God be removed, the enemies of your people be removed, and all the high places you bring down. Father God, we thank you for the miraculous breakthrough of thy divine blessed intervention. We ask that you bless each and every individual under the sound of my voice to receive the greatness of provide blessing and anointing. But, Lord, we know that it is the anointing of God that breaketh the yoke. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Father God, we praise you. We extol you. We glorify you. We exalt thee. Oh, thank you, Father God, and Jesus Christ, omnipotence and his presence, his gloriousness, his greatness, his divinity. We thank you, Father God. Amen and amen. Go with me to the 16th division of Psalms. There's something about the book of Psalms through the week. It's like a song within a poetic expression. That's why I had to sing a little bit of that song earlier, because it was just ringing in my soul. You know, sometimes we have to make melody in our hearts. It's not about getting music. It's not about getting the performance level ratio. It's sometimes just sharing that intimacy factor with God. Let him know that, you know what, despite what's going on in this society, despite all the distractions and the disharmonies, God, I'm putting you first, and if I put you first, you will put me first as your priority to feed me, to take care of me, to pay my bills, to protect me, to shield me, to destroy every negative force, every person that would come in my path to do me in or do me harm. You will remove them. But, Father God, I'm putting you first. When I fret and when I fuss and when I contend with these things, I'm giving over to the enemy the ability to furtherly try to impute disharmony. But when I give it to you, God, you are glorified. And when I glorify you, you will glory me. That's right. The Lord shall glory me. I love that song. The Lord shall glory me. That's right. That means when I glorify his name, he will shine down that Shekinah presence upon me, as he will you as well. Okay, Psalms, the 16th division, the first verse says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. What is David saying? He's saying, keep me, O God, because I have no one else but you. You're the only one that I can depend on. Everybody else is gone. That's right. No one else matters, because when I need them the most, they're never, ever around. So, Lord, keep me and watch over me in my life and the affairs of my life. The second verse says, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth to thee. What is David saying, King David saying? My soul, my very being says, you are my God. You are my God. You are my compass. You are my joy. You are the reason for my existence. Therefore, I have nothing that can compare to thee. Third verse. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. What is he saying? To those who love you, God, to those who trust you, to those who worship you, in spite of all of the things that they're experiencing in their lives. Father God, be gracious to them. Consider them first, that thy excellence be acknowledged. Fourth verse, their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. He's saying to those, see, this is a comparison and contrasting statement. He's saying, but Lord, to the opposite of your people who love, worship, and adore you, that you put them first and honor them and bless them and shield over them. To those who don't honor you, God, who are walking after the flesh, who are walking after greed, hatred, malice, decisiveness, you know, walking in their own iniquities, strip them down to nothing so that they may acknowledge that thou art God and beside thee there is none other, and that, Lord, you associate yourself with your people. And that even so, whatever they say, let it be dishonored. Whatever they do, let it be ignored. Let them eat the dung of their own doings, for they who do not honor you. The Lord, fifth verse, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. What is David saying? He says, Lord, you are the reason of my existence. You are the very essence of my abilities, Without you, I am nothing. I have no definition. I am an empty vessel waiting to be filled. So he's saying, Lord, in knowing this, bless me the more that I may continue to walk in that narrow path of righteousness. The sixth verse, the lines are fallen upon me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. That means that, Lord, your pleasures are upon me. Your divine favor of me, your grace is so overwhelming to me that I am acknowledged. I am given privilege that others are not given, not because of who I am, but because who you are and what you are to me in my life. Seventh verse, I will bless the Lord who have given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. So what is he saying? I will thank you, God. I bless you. I thank you. I am, you know, considering of you. I respect you. I regard you. I acknowledge you. That's right. The Lord who has given me counsel. That means you have strengthened me. You have ministered to me. When you get counsel from someone, what do? You receive a word of knowledge. You receive a word of wisdom. You receive a word of blessing. That's why. Because there's something about when you have the ability to sustain without questioning. You have the ability to withstand beyond measure. You know that it's not within your strength and within your ability. You know it's in the ability and the hands of God in which you have been imparted unto. And God shows you his divine favor. And this is his counsel. He tells you, don't act out. Just stand still and know that I am God. That's why he tells you, don't walk away. Stand still and know that I am God. That's he tells you, don't be ashamed. Stand still and know that I am God. That's why, and see my salvation upon you. To all those who spoke against you, I will silence them. To all this, the desire to tear you down, I will raise you up, and then they will be crushed and have to rely upon your presence to pull them out. And to all they that do these things, they shall be made ashamed. And they will know this day, this is a word of knowledge, that I am with thee and that I pleasure in thy prosperity. Let the church of God in Jesus Christ say amen on this miracle finding Monday, this miracle breakthrough Monday. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Listen. He says, the Lord is my portion, of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. I mean, Lord, you're my all in all. That's right. You are the reason for my season of exaltation. You are the reason for my season of prosperity. You are the reason for my season of all of these great things happening in my life. Your divine favor has brought greatness unto me. Now, let's go to the sixth verse. The lines are fallen upon me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. That means that our children will be blessed. All that we touch are blessed. All that we do is blessed. We're blessed when we're in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we go out. We're blessed when we come in. We're blessed when we enter. We're blessed when we depart. We're blessed when we sit. We're blessed what we eat. We're blessed when we lay down. Because why? We have made God the God of our life. Blessed is the nation whose Lord is God, whose God is the Lord. Is he your Lord today on this Monday? I'm asking you, on this Monday, May 18, 2015, is he your God? Yes, he is mine. I have learned to lean and depend on him because in my strength, there is very little that I can do. But oh, when I call upon the name of Jehovah, that's right, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, that's right, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Tesser, Jehovah Yahweh. That's right, he makes the way out of no way. Okay, the seventh verse we've already read about blessing the Lord and him being my counsel, instructing me through my seasons to show me the reasons for my blessing. The eighth verse says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is all my right hand. I shall not be moved. That's why we sing that song, just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And when you set your affections upon the Lord, your endeavors, you may not be recognized of men, but the kingdom of heaven recognizes you. God will cause a spotlight of his glory, of his Shekinah glory, to shadow you over. And people that never, ever even knew anything about you will recognize your difference. And let me tell you something. Wealth is generated when people recognize that there's a difference in you, a difference in your character. This is the divinity factor of God's divine favor rest ruling and abiding upon you, because at that moment and at that time, God wants to do something supernatural and indeed superficial with an ordinary people. See, God does things that are extraordinary with people that are less than ordinary. And I praise God that I'm less than ordinary. And that's why God is doing the extraordinary, and he is doing the extraordinary within many of you. Will you acknowledge him? Will you praise him? Will you recognize him? Will you give him the respect that is already due unto him? Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. What is David saying? Am I going to walk and pace the floor all night wondering how I'm going to pay my bills? Am I going to sit up and lose my appetite worrying about what's going on in my workplace? Am I going to turn around and just, you know, be agitated and irritated thinking about my family situation? No. He says, I'm resting and waiting patiently in the Lord. You're not glorifying God. And I'm not glorifying God when I'm up worrying and not focusing on the things of the Lord and being glad and be exceedingly better than glad, exceedingly glad. You don't know why you're glad. You're just glad just to know God and his power and his ability and his excellence. And this is what God wants us to do. You're walking around with a sour face, looking like a longevity-style lemon head. You're not getting closer to God. God's not going to move any faster, but you walk around with a sour clock face. That's right. Or walk around with a nasty attitude, gruffing and complaining, snapping up and snapping out at people. God is not going to move any faster. God will move expeditiously in a manner that is totally unexplained and don't hypersensitize in a manner that is just miraculous beyond human reasoning when you let go of yourself, your flesh, and say, God, here I am, just as I am. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. Lord, I come. This is when God recognizes you. This is when he releases his divine favor of Shekinah glory. When you do, when you let go of him, this is what he does. When you let go of the world, this is what he does. And when you hold fast to him, this is what I'm saying, and let go of the world, this is what God does. You rest in hope. You lay down at night saying, Lord, I thank you for a good night's sleep. We're going to wake up in the morning. In the morning, when I rise, I'm going to rise happy. I'm going to have a blessed day. All that I touch is going to be representative of you, of your presence, great and very great, good and very good. I never knew God to do evil to his children. I just never knew it. The enemy is a liar. The truth is not in him. And when these things happen, we got to call on the name of the Lord. And he takes care of all things and all people in due season. Just seeing something just occurred last week. I said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And when God pays, oh, doth he pay heavily and steadily. And listen, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. I know many people speculate the fact that he was talking about our Messiah, that he would not. That's right. You can definitely know that he's talking about our Messiah. But at the same time, Father God will not leave us to the hand of the enemy. He will not allow the enemy to overtake or overwhelm us or to cause any evil and vindictive thing to come against us. That is not God's will. It is not his appropriation. It's not his way. He destroys our enemies. He breaks down those high places. Yes, he does. Thou wilt shew, the 11th verse, me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That means there's gladness, perpetual, continually good things happening when I trust you, when I lean and depend on you, because you are in God, not flesh, concerning your word. And thank God for Jesus, and thank God for the power of his blessed presence in your life, in your heart, in your mind, leading you to that next level. And if you let go and let God, you will receive the divinity factor of his miraculous intervention. And Father God, we thank you right now for this opportunity to speak the word, to speak the word of knowledge. For thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. On this glorious and victorious Monday, May 18, 2015, a new day, a new chapter, a new walk, a new talk, a new attitude, a new gratitude, and a new latitude in the kingdom of mankind, which the powers of heaven be dispersed upon every one of us. Father God, we thank you for blessing us, for prospering us, for healing us, for gratifying us, for satisfying us, and for avenging all they who have trusted in you and have been done wrong and stamped under the feet. Father God, we know that all these blessings, all these benefits, all these privileges are yours and they come from you. And we praise you, we thank you, we magnify you, we glorify you exceedingly, Father God. And we will continue on to speak the words of truth, that thy name be exalted. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Father God, we thank you. Amen, amen. Well, glorious and victorious day it is, another day that the Lord has made, that we are rejoicing and being glad in it. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as your Motor City Maharani, saying, have a glorious and victorious week, and we'll see you again on Sunday with Manna from on High, the greatest hour of biblical inspiration, instruction, and motivation that the kingdom of heaven has to offer amongst the kingdom of man. Be blessed and let those miracle testimonies come in. Email me those results and let our Father be glorified. Thank you for listening in. Oh, yeah.